Samuel Little was a career criminal who had spent his life in and out of jail. At the young age of 13, he was already stealing and breaking into homes. As he matured, he developed a strange obsession with strangling women, and he ultimately gave in to his urges. In 2014, at the age of 74, he was arrested after DNA connected him to the murders of three women who were killed in the 80s. But his confessions will reveal an even higher total, a much higher total. Welcome to History's Biggest Villains. Samuel Little was born Samuel McDowell on June 7, 1940 in Reynolds, Georgia. Soon after his birth, he moved to Lorain, Ohio, where he was raised by his grandmother after his mother abandoned him on the side of the road when he was a baby. He attended Hawthorne Junior High School, where he frequently got into trouble. By age 13, he was arrested for stealing and sent to reform school. By his own account, he began having sexual fantasies about strangling women as a child, starting when he saw his kindergarten teacher touch her neck. As a teenager, he collected true crime magazines about women being strangled. He was always focused on women's necks, even pinning an image of a woman who had been strangled to death on his wall. When he did marry or have girlfriends, he said that he tried to avoid looking at their necks. At the age of 16, he was arrested for breaking and entering in Omaha, Nebraska. By the 1960s, he had reconnected with his birth mother in Miami, Florida, and then he continued his criminal activities from there. He served 3 years in prison after robbing a furniture store in 1961. By 1975, he had been arrested 26 times in 11 states for various crimes such as theft, assault, attempted rape, fraud, and attacks on police officers. According to his confessions, he had already killed 11 women by then, with the first being Mary Jo Brosley on New Year's Eve of 1970. The first confirmed murder by Samuel Little was Annie Lee Stewart on October 11th, 1981. He strangled her and dumped her body behind an apartment complex in Cincinnati, Ohio. He wouldn't be charged with Annie's murder until August 23rd, 2019. In 1982, Little was arrested in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and charged with the murder of 22-year-old Melinda Rose LaPree, who had gone missing in September of that year. For some reason, a grand jury chose not to indict him for the murder. While under investigation for Melinda's murder, he was extradited to Florida to stand trial for the murder of Patricia Ann Mount, whose body was also found in September of that year. Several witnesses had identified Samuel as someone who was with Mount the night before her disappearance. However, these testimonies were not taken seriously, so Little was acquitted in 1984. He later moved to California, staying in the San Diego area. In October of 1984, he was arrested for kidnapping, beating, and strangling 22-year-old Lori Barros. She did ultimately survive. A month later, police found him in the back seat of his car with an unconscious woman who was also beaten and strangled in the same location as the incident with Lori Barros. Little only served 2.5 years in prison for both of these crimes. I think I see a pattern here. 25 years later, on September 5th, 2012, Samuel was arrested at a homeless shelter in Louisville, Kentucky, to be extradited to California on a drug charge. Authorities used DNA testing to link him to the deaths of three women killed back in the 1980s. 41-year-old Linda Alford was found dead on July 13, 1987 in an alley in Los Angeles, California. She was forcefully strangled to death and was nude from the waist down. Her daughter had to identify her body. 46-year-old Guadalupe Apodaca was found dead on September 3, 1989 in an abandoned auto garage. A boy was kicking a soccer ball against the wall of the building when he looked in the window and saw her body. It was determined that Little had kneeled on her chest and strangled her, forcing her to have a seizure. She had also been found nude from the waist down. 35-year-old Audrey Nelson Everett was found in a dumpster behind a nightclub in Los Angeles, California on August 14, 1989. She had been repeatedly punched in the head before being forcibly strangled, according to the autopsy. Additionally, she had roe burns, suggesting that she might have been dragged across the ground, most likely before she died, as well as a smashed spinal bone, bruises on her stomach, and injuries to her back. According to the coroner, Dr. Eugene Carpenter, The woman had serious injuries from strangulation and a stomach injury that showed a sign of considerable force. He said, "These signs of force are the greatest that I've ever seen in a 27-year practice in a county which had its share of strangulation cases." Little was charged with the murders of these three women on September 25th, 2014. He was found guilty and sentenced to life without parole. In November of 2018, Little began confessing to committing dozens of murders that had previously been unsolved. The Ector County, Texas District Attorney and Wise County, Texas Sheriff's Office announced on November 13th that Little may have committed more than 90 murders across 14 states between 1970 and 2005. He said he killed women in Texas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, Illinois, Ohio, California, Indiana, Arizona, New Mexico, South Carolina, and possibly Maryland. On November 27th, 2018, the FBI announced that a Violent Criminal Apprehension Program, or VICAP, team had confirmed 34 of Little's confessions and was working to match the remainder of his confessions to known murders or suspicious deaths. Little admitted to more than 93 different murders in total, but as of today, 60 of those deaths have actually been connected to him. The majority of Little's victims were prostitutes, drug addicts, or homeless individuals, most of them being black women. He claimed that he thought these types of victims would leave fewer clues for authorities to find and leave fewer people to search for them. He also believed that these murders would draw less attention from the authorities, as they seemed to have little interest in these victims. He was also able to draw pictures of 26 of these victims. Before we go any further, I'm going to actually play his confessions. Pay attention to a few things. Look at how excited he is when he describes this, and also think about the level of detail that he goes into. He admitted to 93 different murders. The fact that someone remembers 93 different incidents is an entirely different level of just psychopathy. So I'm gonna play some of his confessions and you'll see for yourself.
North Little Rock. Tell me what that girl looked like.
Oh man, I loved her. I forget her name. Oh wait, I think it was Ruth.
Okay.
She was a heavy set, big old yellow gal and had buck teeth. He had a gap between the teeth, that's what it was. And she was like honey colored skin, and she had her hair was not really long. It was.
How tall do you think she was?
She was about 5'7".
How much do you think she weighed?
She weighed about close to 200, about 170.
Pretty big girl.
Yeah. Right.
Now where did you meet her at?
Okay, down in the crack house. Her and about six other girls were sitting on the porch. Do some crack in there. I stopped to go in there. I seen a girl, that's why I stopped. We stayed together 2 days or more, I think about 3 days. We was going shoplifting. We went to Sears. We went to Kroger's, and that's where I got busted. Mm-hmm. They took me to jail, and she went and stayed in the car. And the manager of Kroger's, I guess he got tired of her landing on his property in that car. He called the station where I was at in North Arkansas to drop the charges. Mm-hmm. So he can come down and get this gal and car out of here. They cut me loose. So we was headed toward with that place where Walmart's an original store, Benton. I whipped off the road and back into that little woods. It was a cornfield back there. I pulled through it, and on the other side of the cornfield was a trash pile. I parked the car facing out where I could see anybody coming in. So I pulled her out of the car. She's too big for me to carry her. So I just pulled her out of the car and laid on that trash that was lit there.
So was it like a corn stalk pile, or was it?
Yeah, a bunch of corn stalks.
What could you see from there?
I could see the highway, mm-hmm. And in the woods is that way. But it's right outside of Little Rock. I was about 10 miles from it.
From North Little Rock, you think 10 miles?
Yeah, it was about 10 miles.
Okay. Hey, tell me about Northern Kentucky, the girl that you met in Columbus. So you meet this girl, I guess you're at a strip bar downtown Columbus.
I went on my car, and this white girl come out behind the building. And I'm in my trunk. She walked over to me. Say, come on, y'all, can you take me to Miami?
Describe this girl to me. She white, black, what she look like?
She was white, blonde hair, dishwater blonde hair, gold, and short.
Short, like shoulder length?
Yeah,
or?
A little over his ear.
Like a bob?
Yeah, like a bob.
Okay, and how tall do you think she was?
She was about 5'7".
How much do you think she weighs?
She weighed about 130.
How old do you think she was?
Oh, she was about 25.
Okay. You mentioned before that you said she kind of had like this hippie aura to her.
Yeah, she did give you a hippie feeling. I think she was some kind of hippie, yeah.
So you go to Cincinnati, you mess around on Vine Street, and then eventually you guys both get in your car and you cross over the bridge into Kentucky. Tell me about going into Kentucky.
We got to Covington, and then we continued through Covington. Mm-hmm. And there was a park that they were having a festival there. And she heard the music and shit off of that band in there. And by her being a hippie type, you know, she wanted to get to that. But the police came over and peeped in our car. He really wanted me to move out of there. So we, instead of going in there, I took her the other way,
right,
winding round. They got hills out in Kentucky, and the road winds around the hills. Mm-hmm. I seen a little short road going up the hill, and up top there was vegetation, wasn't no houses or nothing. And so I pulled up in there and concealed the car in that little vegetation up there on top of the hill. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this road that goes up the hill. What kind of road is it?
It was like a dirt road.
Okay.
It was like dirt. The grass was growing in the middle between two tracks. When I left her up in that little road up there, on the side of that little road, she was like partially concealed by the vegetation. And I left her there.
Las Vegas. Describe the Las Vegas victim.
That was in 93.
Okay.
I bought a Eldorado.
What color Eldorado?
It was a yellow.
Okay. Yellow Cadillac Eldorado.
Yep.
All right. What year?
78.
Okay. Well, tell me about this girl. What does she look like?
She was kind of thin, dark skin, about 40 years old when she was out there hustling. I think she was a drug addict because she wouldn't have been out there.
How tall was she?
She was about 5'5", 5'3".
And how much do you think she weighed?
She weighed about 110, 120.
Okay. What about her did you know?
The boy came, that was her son. And she called him over there. And he came over, he shook my hand and everything. Yeah.
Now how old was he?
He was about 20 or about 19, 20.
Okay, black male or?
Black male.
And where were you at when you met her?
It was on Owens Avenue.
Okay.
Owens, that's down in the black section. Owens and Jackson.
Where do you eventually take her body to?
I was headed toward California. Mm-hmm. So as I drove out of Las Vegas, I seen a motel and a road leading up to the motel. And I said, there's a lot of bushes and brushes us beside the road before you got to that motel. That's where I dropped, pulled up her body out and rolled it down there. And I heard a secondary roll of noise. That meant she was still rolling.
So you basically roll her into a pretty big ditch that's got a bunch of...
Well, it wasn't a ditch, it was a slope.
Okay.
That didn't look like a slope because the vegetation had grown up out of the slope and looked like you didn't know it was... You would think that the road would just be flat. Mm-hmm. But actually, the road was going down, a slope like. And that's why she rolled.
So this is a slope right off the road?
Yeah.
Okay. And tell me about how far do you think you were outside of Las Vegas?
The road I was on was going towards Searchlight. Mm-hmm. So whatever the name of that road is, that's the road I was on.
How far outside of Las Vegas do you think you were? Were you in Las Vegas?
I was still in Las Vegas, yeah.
Okay.
But I was on the very outskirts.
All right.
The very outskirts. There was a couple of motels I remember, gas station, and it was scattered, because it was getting thin, population, as you go further out. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Mary Ann.
She's what you nowadays they call a transgender.
She's a black male dressed up as a female. Okay, how tall is she?
Mary Ann's about 5'6". She weighed about 135.
Okay.
Maybe 140.
And how old do you think she was?
But she was 19.
Okay. And where was she from?
Miami, down in Liberty City.
Okay. And did she, you'd mentioned before she had a boyfriend, or she talked about a boyfriend?
Named Wes.
Wes?
Yeah, yeah.
And tell me about where you met her at.
I seen her down at the Guar on 17th Avenue, and she had on a short cream miniskirt. Cream and red. So then this opportunity popped up. Mm-hmm. Take her to the store.
Right.
She didn't even bring it back to the apartment. I went down 27th Street. That's going down to Fort Lauderdale, called the Alligator Alley. It turns into, it runs into Alligator Alley.
Right.
But the further out you get, the further you get out of Miami.
Right.
And you got vegetation in there.
Now, how far outside of Miami do you think you were?
About, it wasn't too far to Miami, right there. I was in my stepdad's car, Pontiac LeMans.
Now, where did you take her to?
Continue down 27.
Mm-hmm.
Got back on 27.
Going outside of Miami.
Okay. Miami.
Going away from Miami.
Going away from Miami. We got down past the, let's say, limits. So I continued on toward Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And I seen a road going off the main road back into vegetation on the left side. So I got her out of the car, pulled her out, and drug her into the growth back there, and pulled her deeper into a little path was running somewhere. I don't know where it led it to, but it was running deeper into the undergrowth. It's like Everglades like that. And we ran into some water running. But before we got to the water, the earth was mushy. I turned loose, and she fell into it face down.
And how far outside of Miami do you think you were?
About a mile, 2 miles.
What year did Mary Ann occur?
72.
Okay, 1972.
She was pretty, light-skinned, brown, honey-colored skin. And she was about she was tall for a woman, about 5'8", 5'9", and beautiful shape, and she's friendly.
And how much do you think she weighed?
She had a beautiful body, a beautiful 150, well put together.
And how old do you think she was?
She was about 30.
Okay, and she's a black female.
Yeah.
And tell me where you met her.
I met her in a nightclub in New Orleans. Her and her sister two sisters. Her youngest sister was having a birthday party. Her sister was dancing with this guy on the floor. And when I come in, the girl that I was with offered me to dance with me. And while we were dancing, she says, you want to go riding after this, after this party's over? We walked outside and she looked and seen my car at Lincoln. She said, that's a beautiful car too. So she had arm in arm, walking to the car, got in, stopped at a gas station. We was on the Highway 10 and going toward Slidell. I seen the sign say Little Woods. Mm-hmm. So I cut off, I took off the exit, went, and that sure enough was the road leading into the woods. And we went in and parked. So we finally got to where we were going, and it was by a bayou, a river, a little water thing, and the big, they had a machine out there in that little river.
Dredging. Okay.
I grabbed it by the legs and pulled it to the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one that I ever killed by drowning.
Describe the location where she's left.
Okay, I left her with her head still there in the water, half her body in the underwater, and the thighs and legs on there.
Little died on December 30th, 2020 in a Los Angeles County area hospital. Although California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation sources indicated no cause of death, he did suffer from diabetes, heart problems, and other health conditions. The FBI is still working to this day to identify all of his victims. His 60 confirmed murder victims make him the most prolific serial killer in American history. Samuel Little was a man who harbored an intense desire to strangle women, and his twisted fantasies led to a killing spree spanning multiple decades. He seemed to get enjoyment out of their suffering and will go down in infamy as one of the world's most ruthless killers. Thanks again for watching this video. I really appreciate the support that you guys have given on this channel so far. It's really just amazing how someone can remember 93 different incidents. And I hear people say that he's exaggerating, but when you claim to have killed 93 people, and so far the police have proved 2/3 of your total is correct, that leaves a little bit of more doubt in the he was making it up theory. The fact that he's excited about describing these, he's always wanted to tell someone about what he's doing. Like, this is a release of energy. This is an emotion. This is like a high for him. He's getting off on this because of all these fantasies that he's had, because this is something that's sexual for him as well, not just he wants to do it. This is a sexual gratification thing for him. So he's obviously getting off on telling people what he did to all those women. But again, thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, hit that subscribe button. Don't forget to turn on my post notifications. Thank you. I'm out. Peace.